What a great time to be a Giant, be a fan of the Giants.
Like, we have something going here. We're building something special, and, you know, you can see it from the outside out, and inside, it's even more beautiful.
Reflecting on everything that got me here, just to see that uniform, and, you know, I watched, that's the team I watched the most growing up, because my dad was a Giants fan, so.
Once a Giant, always a Giant. For me, it's only a Giant.
Welcome, everybody, to a special game day edition of All In with Art Stapleton, a New York Giants podcast brought to you by NorthJersey.com and The Record. I'm your host, Art Stapleton, and yes, it is game day. The 1-3 Giants are down here, not quite on South Beach, but Miami Gardens, Florida, Hard Rock Stadium, against the 3-1 Miami Dolphins, and they are double-digit underdogs for the second time this year. The other time was against San Francisco in Santa Clara. That was on a short week. This is a short week again, albeit by about a half a day. And things just are not coming together quickly enough for this team. And you start hearing implosion and falling apart. And there are now questions about Daniel Jones and Brian Daboll. And did Joe Shane make the right moves in the offseason? This is what happens. And believe me, we've got plenty of experience covering the Giants over the last decade that when things start going south, you can't plug the holes in the dam fast enough. Now, do I think this is a team that's in revolution? No. That's what happened with Ben McAdoo in 2017. The team revolted against their head coach. I don't believe this is a head coach that lost his locker room. I believe that the makeup of the locker room is certainly called into question. And while in 2017, coming back from that playoff year, the prior season, there was so much talk about combustibility. Now, I don't believe this locker room is about combustibility. What I've written and what I said on episodes last week, I think it's the opposite. I don't think this team is combustible enough. I think they need some of their leaders to kind of speak out and talk about what they're not seeing. You need to find something. You need to find an identity. You know, I think back to players in high school and college, and you talk about having captains only meetings, and you get in a room and you just kind of put on the board, you know, who's not doing their job. But it's not about pointing out the player. It's about pointing out the job. And I think that's what this team needs to be to have a chance to compete against Miami today. We know the last time they were in Hard Rock Stadium, the Dolphins scored 70 points, which was the most points in the NFL since 1966. Conversely, since that second half historic comeback in Arizona, the Giants have scored one touchdown. And that was a touchdown run by Matt Breda against the 49ers. Let's get to some game day news. If you were following me at around 4:35 in the morning, right now I'm recording this. It's about 7:40. Saquon Barkley not expected to play. He will join Andrew Thomas on the sideline yet again. This will be his third straight game. You know, when Barkley suffered his ankle sprain, even when it was considered a low ankle sprain, which we ended up finding out from Saquon himself that it was not, it was a high ankle sprain. The 21-day window was today. So if he had healed in 21 days, he would be able to play today. Now, that's not going to happen. I don't believe Saquon, even though his status is questionable, which is technically 50-50, I think coming in, he probably was really more along the lines of 25% to play, 75% not to play. But the Giants wanted to give him a shot, and I don't believe that's going to happen. So without Saquon Barkley, without Andrew Thomas, without John Michael Schmitz, the rookie center for the first time this year, Ben Bredesen now kicks over to center, and you will have most likely Mark Glowinski coming back into the lineup. He was benched after week one. He'll play on the left side. You'll still have Marcus McKeithen at right guard, who I think has played relatively well since he has gotten onto this line. I think he's a bright spot. Joshua Ezeudu, who took Monday's loss to Seattle very, very hard, was at his locker, kind of staring into space after the game. He was distraught, talked about it this week, and he said, look, you know, if you're not feeling that kind of emotion after a game like that, then you shouldn't be playing a game like this at this level. So I give Azudu credit. You got to remember, I mean, yes, the Giants are struggling on the offensive line. Offensive line rankings don't mean anything, but the reality is that they're viewed as one of the worst line units in the league, and the production doesn't say otherwise. They gave up 11 sacks last week, 10 of Daniel Jones and one of Paris Campbell on a gadget play. And then obviously Evan Neal, there will be a lot talked about him today. I'm sure it will be discussed on the broadcast with his comments and then his apology regarding the fans, venting about the fans, venting his frustration. He has not played well this season and really needs to find it. So can it happen in the NFL? Well, it starts off with the player who's under the most pressure, and that's Daniel Jones. You know, you have Tua on the other side. You have the weapons that Tua has, the kind of offense that they run. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. You have Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane. Those guys, you know, Achane's the fabulous rookie running back. Anyone who plays fantasy football knows what he's done the last couple weeks. He's come on strong, started with that 70-point game, and then really is a weapon, both running the ball and catching it out of the backfield. The speed of the Dolphins, a lot will be talked about that. But the Dolphins play out of big personnel and then use their speed to beat you. So you almost have to match up defensively. You have to pick your poison. You have to decide how do you match up against their size, because they're going to run the ball. And then you have to match up against their speed that way. So this is really textbook. You know, Mike McDaniel has done a good job with the Dolphins. Yes, they met their match last week in Buffalo. And lo and behold, the Giants go to Buffalo next week for another primetime game against the Bills. But first things first, it does come down to Daniel Jones. Because now you've got a portion of the fan base who's going to spend their Saturdays looking at Caleb Williams of USC and Drake May of North Carolina and trying to see, ooh, if the Giants suck bad enough, can we get one of these fabulous quarterbacks in the draft? And that's where it is right now with the Giants. And I did not think it would get to this point. I expected a little bit of regression, but I thought this team would compete. I thought like last year they'd win a couple games that maybe you didn't think they would win, and they'd be sitting here probably with one more win. I thought they probably would be sitting here at 2-2. That was the best chance. But now in hindsight, you know, that Seattle game, losing the Seattle game, the way they lost the Seattle game, you know, you look at the score, and obviously the offensive line and the offense in general self-destructed in the second half. You know, they were right there in the third quarter. You know, look, there have been situations this season where they've been here, you know, I think it's just one of those things where the Giants have to find something, and that starts with the top. If you're Brian Daboll and you're Mike Kafka on offense, we know about Wink Martindale. We know they have to figure out defensively how to stick with the Dolphins. But offensively, this comes down to the offense. Protect this offensive line, but you know what? If you're going to lose 24-3, if you're going to lose 31-3, you better do so trying to take some shots. Be a little creative. Be aggressive. Now, the status of Daniel Bellinger, I believe, is imperative. Now, the Giants did not call up anybody from the practice squad, any of their young tight ends, Tyree Jackson or Ryan Jones. So even though Bellinger is listed as questionable, I think they believe he will play. And what that did on Monday night when Bellinger went out on the brotherly shove or the tush push or whatever you want to call it, when they lost John Michael Schmitz and Daniel Bellinger to a knee, JMS to a shoulder, when they lost those two guys, it crippled the offense. Because now Darren Waller, in packages where he would normally line up at wide receiver, they only had Lawrence Cager and Darren Waller. So if they were playing two tight ends, Waller had to slide into Bellinger's role, and they had to put another wide receiver into what would be Waller's role. That's why Waller's touches were as low as they were. still, Waller needs to be a focal point of this offense, and they need to figure it out. And that does come down to Daniel Jones. Sooner or later, the excuses will catch up to you. And Jones isn't making any excuses. You don't hear Brian Daboll making any excuses publicly. But there's nothing wrong with playing well today. If you lose the game, you lose the game. But play well. You can't fool people into thinking that you're playing well. You've got to compete. You've got to play well. You've got to put some points on the board. Give this team a feeling that even if you're sitting there after Buffalo at 1-5, that maybe when the schedule changes, you get Andrew Thomas back, you get Saquon Barkley back, maybe this team could compete. And, you know, is the goal getting on a run like Detroit did last year? You find yourself, you start beating teams, and then midway through the season, you're looking at it going, boy, we're really building out of that terrible start. That's what this team needs right now. So that's my look at the game today. Obviously, we'll be at Hard Rock Stadium all day, so make sure you check out all of our coverage on NorthJersey.com. Before we go, though, I have some sound today. We mentioned Andrew Thomas. I think you'll enjoy and appreciate what Andrew Thomas had to say in the locker room on Friday. And I'll come back after you listen to Andrew Thomas, and then I'll kind of wrap it up and get you ready for the game. So without further ado, here is Andrew Thomas.
This week, during the game, I just try to be another, not another coach, but just I never set eyes for the guys to see if I feel like I can help with, you know, technique or looking at, you know, safety rotation, like watch this pressure, watch the way they're going to attack your hands and stuff like that. Just trying to be a reminder. I don't want to be out there and just, you know, yelling and screaming and making it harder for those guys. I know what it's like, you know, being in that position. It's already a lot to think about, so any little thing I can do, I'm just trying to encourage.
Andrew, this is the ultimate hindsight question, but do you wish you came out of the Cowboys game? Like, did things get worse by playing on it for three quarters after you initially got hurt?
Honestly, I don't know. The adrenaline of the game, I'm just going. Like, obviously, it was sore when I hurt it, but at that point, we were down by, you know, when I first heard it, we weren't down by,
it was just a
touchdown, exactly. So, in my mind, I'm going to compete. And even when we were down, my mindset is to, if I can go out there, I'm going to try to until they pull me out. That's just the mentality I have.
You mentioned, though,
in your head about, you know, man, obviously, you always want to give your all, but I wish I had gone full throttle to chase down the field initially.
No, I never have any regrets about effort. I pride myself on being somebody that plays hard. Like, even in the past, like, if you have a turnover, interceptions, fumbles, like, you go back to college, I always chase down hard. That's just the brand of football I want to play. So, obviously, do I regret being hurt? For sure, but not the effort.
Andrew, you cautioned last week when we talked to you on the Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You cautioned and said, you know what, I got to see how I feel when I get up against contact. Mm-hmm. Did you know right away that you weren't ready last week, or was it something that happened that may have triggered?
When I went to practice, my mindset was like, I don't know because I haven't been out there. But when I got there, I was moving around, I felt it wasn't ready yet. And they could see it as well, so that's why they took me out.
Was it early in practice? Like, it was a fast decision, basically?
What's the last week been like to process that mentally and, you know, trying to go and
Frustrating, but like I said, just trying to keep a positive mindset, keep doing what I can, on rehab, resting, like recovery, stuff I can do, I'm trying to do all that.
Has anything changed with your like recovery routine in the past week since you gave it a go? Have you done anything different?
Just a lot more rehab than I've been doing. Sometimes you don't want to overwork it, especially with soft tissue, the fluid building up and stuff like that. And anything they ask me to do, and anything extra I find, I'm trying to do it.
They haven't put you on IR, which means you'd be out, I think, 3 or 4 games. So do you have a feel for, like, when you might be back? Like, do you have a timetable in mind? Because obviously if they don't do that, they don't think it's a long term.
Yeah, I really don't know. They tell me day to day, and that's the approach I'm taking. The soft tissue can make you feel great or it can not. So I'm just trying to do everything I can. And if I'm able to play, I'm going to play.
Do you feel your left? So this may be a dumb question, but the way you line up, what is it? Is it worse having it on your left or your right?
I would say, like, in the run game, it probably doesn't make a difference with side, but in pass protection, my left leg is my anchor leg, so I'm just trying to anchor, you know, power rushes and stuff like that. Same thing when I have the anchor on the left side, like, that can affect as well.
I see. Did you share any advice with Evan about going through, like, a tough week as a young player?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I told him, like, I've, you know, obviously been in his situation, playing tackle, having a lot of expectations and not performing the way you want to. I just told him, like, you just got to focus on what gets you better. Learn about what they say outside of things. It doesn't really affect how, like, you're not going to get better by reading different things or focusing on it. The only way you're going to get better is correcting your technique, listening to what the coaches are telling you, and that's the only way you get better. Now take care of yourself. You play well, then you don't have to worry about anything else.
Andrew, do you feel tangible progress right now with getting better with the hamstring, or is it hard to say?
No, like, so when it comes to motion and stuff like that, you can see differences, you know, day to day. But like I said, being out there and actually having to take on a bull rush or move somebody off the ball, I won't know until I get out there.
Is that a topic at all this week of maybe, like, getting you out to practice earlier in the week, or how that went about?
Not this week. Just felt like they wanted to give me some more recovery time, just to, because, you know, it didn't feel great when I went out there last week. So they give me some time. And we'll see next week. Next time.
So that was Andrew Thomas. You know, I think he shed some light on it, and you know, I went back to him and talked about, you know, the idea of when he talked to us that Tuesday when they got back from the trip from San Francisco and had their couple days off. He said on Tuesday, he cautioned, he said, when we hit the practice field on Thursday, I've got to see how this will respond, pushing up against guys, making the movement that I need to make. And the injury is to his left hamstring. That is his plant leg. He said it doesn't necessarily affect him as much in the run game, but pass protection, it really bothers him and limits what he can do. And you heard what he said about, you know, regrets. Should he have regretted going back into that game in week one? Well, we didn't know the game was going to end up 40-0. When Thomas got hurt, they were down 7-0 after the blocked field goal. So he's going to gut it out. They think they still have a chance. Should they have pulled him earlier in the second half? Yes, there's no doubt about that. But would that have made the decision now easier to get him out there on the field? We'll never know. And the idea that he should have been on IR, if you don't need the spot on the 53, you don't want to put guys on IR. There's no reason to put guys on IR, because if you have the practice squad elevations to bring up, you're going to bring them up like they do for today. Jalen Mayfield comes up as a backup lineman. Jalen Thomas, the undrafted rookie who the Giants signed early in the season, is going to be the backup center behind Bredesen. So obviously you hope Bredesen can make it through this game. He was really banged up the last time. You know, the Dolphins aren't necessarily going to overpower you defensively. Now, I thought that about Seattle, but we knew Seattle was very physical in the run game. We'll just have to see how the Giants perform today on the offensive line. And anything less than 11 sacks, I guess, is a step forward. So we'll just have to wait and see. This idea of moving Evan Neal from right tackle now, I think it's foolish. It's not going to come internally. You have to give the guy a chance to find his way on right tackle. That's an off-season thing. If you want to make a decision that, you know, we don't think Neal can play tackle anymore, which obviously there are a lot of observers watching this league saying, well, he's too slow. Let's put him at guard. You got to wait and see. You got to play it out. You know, this is one of the tough things when you have a young offensive line and you put the investment into your offensive line. If you want to put them together and you want to see them grow together, they're going to take their lumps. And it's a hard pill to swallow, but you have to see how some of these guys can compete. Do they find it? Do they get better? If you have questions about the coaching that they're receiving, you're going to wait till the offseason to make those decisions. And that's a Brian Daboll, Joe Shane decision to decide which direction this team is going to go. Still a long way, a lot of games to still play. And I think you got to basically play it out. It's hard to see, Giants fans. I understand it. It's hard to see. Believe me, it's hard to cover. But maybe one of these weeks they'll go out and surprise you and score a touchdown or two. and you'll start feeling better about the direction again of this team and this organization, because right now it's very easy to pile on. So I'll head to Howard Rock Stadium. I'll have our post-game podcast tonight. Make sure you're listening. The numbers keep going up. So the idea that the team is losing seems to bring a little bit more interest. We know you're all in. We're still all in here too. Try to enjoy the game today, and we'll catch you tonight after the result, and then set you up for Buffalo later this week.